Good morning, everybody. It's time for us to get started this morning. Everybody can kind of make your way to your seats, and we'll pick up with our next lesson here. And it's good to see everybody out this morning. We're going to be in lesson five this morning in our class about denying self. So I think everybody has a book now. If you do, if you're a permanent member of the class and you don't have a book, please make sure and see me today. I have a couple left that we can hand out, and there is some class material in the back between the double doors if you need a copy of today's lesson. So we're moving through some of these different concepts that help us understand the idea of self-control and self-denial, and today we're going to start a new one. We've been talking about submitting to God's will and what that involves and how self-control is and self-denial are part of that. And today we're going to move into the idea of meekness. And we'll spend a few weeks talking about this because I think it's an integral part of appreciating self-control and seeing how that attitude or that spirit enables us to be able to do just what God wants us to do. So that's what we'll think about as we get started this morning. And the author spends some time defining it. He talks about some examples of it, and then we talk about applying it for a little bit. So that's where we'll go with the idea of meekness, and we'll do the same thing with a couple of other concepts that we see throughout some scriptures that help us appreciate the concept of self-denial. So let's begin with that this morning. Let's start with a word of prayer, and then we'll get into some of the thoughts of our lesson. Our holy and righteous Father in heaven, we thank you so much, Father, for this time to be together this morning and for the word that you have given us that we can appreciate some of the very ideas that you would have us to know and to become a part of who we are. We recognize you, Father, as the ultimate designer of things. You know who we are. You know how we know that you have made us to be a certain way, and we know that we can choose to submit ourselves to your will and be the people that bring glory to you. We pray this morning as we think about this idea of meekness and gentleness and the right spirit of mind as we deal with the things of this life and we think about our eternity. We pray that you would help us to be open to not only understanding what you would have us to be, but accepting that, being willing to put that on, appreciating what it means and what it doesn't mean so that you, again, might be glorified in the example that we set, that others might be able to see us and know that we are children of yours and thus be drawn to you because of that. That you would have all of the glory and the honor in how others would come to you through our example. Thank you, Father, for showing us these things. Help us to appreciate that as we put these things on in our lives, as we exhibit self-control, and as we try to be those who are meek and humble, that truly brings peace in our lives today, and that draws us closer to you. We're grateful for the eternity that we can have with you forever, and we pray as we strive towards that you would help us see the ways and the path to be able to get there. Please continue with those that we think of often who need your care. Help us to have the right spirit towards them and to be helpful and supportive and encouraging. Thank you for the gift of your Son and for the ultimate example of everything that we do. We pray these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so as we start to think about the idea here of meekness, the first three or four verses that he puts here in the lesson, I wanted to look at with you and then ask a couple of questions, just so we can see what the Bible says about it in different places. And one of the first places he quotes from here is back in Zephaniah chapter 2 and verse 3, where it says here, "Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness and seek humility, that it may be that you may be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger." So you notice some of the concepts that go along with the idea of meekness. And incidentally, if you're reading from the English Standard Version or one of the Bibles that's there, you see the word gentleness probably. This is from the New King James. And so as different translations have have looked at the original manuscript and tried to use the right word. We'll get into this here in just a moment. It's difficult sometimes to find just exactly which word can be used for meekness because of what the word actually means and how it's defined. And so you'll see different words and different translations that are put in there for that. Over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, as Peter gives encouragement here to wives, one of the things that he says in verse 4 is, "But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." So we start to see, as you look at some of just these basic passages, that the idea of meekness has to do with not just actions, but what? What else would you say goes along with it? Besides actions, what do you see meekness being? Okay. All right, so something that's more inward, some thoughts and feelings, kind of an attitude as well, right? So as you think about that, yeah, Mary, go ahead.
Along those lines of disposition.
Yeah.
I think that meekness is often, we always talk about inaction, but I think it's proactively prepared to be meek in positions where it's going to be difficult to do so.
Okay. All right, that's a great way to put it, because we're going to go there tonight, so this morning, as we think this through and try to understand how it is part of our lives. But just in these two passages, when you look at this, he talks about being meek, seeking the Lord, the meek of all the earth, and seeking righteousness, that those things go hand in hand. Talking about having a gentle and quiet spirit, those are some areas that go along with it. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, Paul says there, as he talks to Timothy, now this is not, you see how it crosses between women and men in different situations, it's to all those who are pursuing righteousness. And it's interesting when you look at some of these verses how often the idea of pursuing righteousness or being righteous goes hand in hand with meekness. And so that kind of shows us that if we want to be righteous before God, that this is an integral part of the attitude or the disposition that we need to have. He says to Timothy, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things." He's been talking about different things in the context before that. "Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness," and here it's translated gentleness. Same word for meekness that we have seen there. Colossians 3 and verse 12. A different letter to different people. He says there, "Put on as God's chosen ones, beloved and holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." And so you see the category where all of those things kind of flow together. So as we think about this, I'd love to hear your ideas of it. And many of you have probably read the lesson and seen there's some technical definitions in this lesson, a lot of reading to do with that. But whether you think about what he says here in the lesson, or just even I'd love to hear what you think that the world looks at meekness as, how would you describe it? How would you describe meekness? Yeah.
How the world looks at it?
Either way, sure.
Meekness is weakness.
Okay. Meekness is weakness. I've heard that before. What other words would you use to describe it? If somebody was describing to you an interaction they have with someone, and they said to you, I was talking to so-and-so, they went to buy a car, let's use that example, and the guy just kind of ran over him, because, so-and-so is, he's a pretty meek individual. What do you think, how do you think that translates? Yeah, Kevin?
Timid?
Yeah. That's the word. One of the words I was looking for. Yeah. Sometimes we look at that, we think, oh, well, he's timid. What else? Yeah.
Kind of quiet, pushover.
Quiet and what?
Quiet and pushover.
Okay, quiet. Maybe kind of a little bit of a pushover. Yeah, Dot.
I think it's even more pronounced than that. I don't think you even hear it. People don't say me. They don't know anything.
That's true.
They don't say it.
Right, right. But when we think of it, those are kind of the things that we think of. That's a great point. Yeah. We don't say meekness a lot, but that's kind of what we're thinking. And whether it's because the word rhymes or because just this impression that we have of someone who is meek, that's oftentimes how we look at it. So let's think about it this way. Is meekness then, is it a personality trait? Is it a type of person? Or is it something we can control? What do you think? Yeah, John?
I believe we can control it.
Okay. John says we can control it. Seth?
I think if the world looks at it as weak or timid, the reality is just more like what Merrick said. It's something you control, and it's a premeditated way of being.
Okay.
And it's something where you like premeditated meaning you think long term ahead of time, and rather than reacting, you just are acting.
Okay. Yeah, you have created a disposition if you're going to do that and how you're going to be. Sure. Yeah, Rich.
That's where I was going with that as well. It's also what's important.
Okay.
Some things when you focus attention on, you know, the fly on the wall, the problem with me. There's a certain focus of your attention to things. A meek individual isn't going to expend a lot of resources on that which is not important.
Okay.
And that to me, in dealing with folks that I've known like that, they don't tend to get excited about things that are lesser important.
All right. So you might say, I agree, and you may say there's a degree of stability there. With that. That's a good way to look at it. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, Art?
You take a real, real quiet person, gentle person, it'll take a whole lot, but if he loses control of it, he's worse than the one who has
That's true. And so, if you didn't hear Art's point, so he says, you know, you take a real quiet, controlled person who that's their disposition most of the time, and he may take a lot, but then, you know, push them too far and it just completely loses it. So my question is that meekness or is that something else? Is that just a personality trait or is that just a different type of disposition?
That's not meekness.
Yeah, I would say so. Because that's not what we see meekness being. But that's why we're talking about it this way, because sometimes we get things confused as to what it really is. And we want to appreciate what it really is, because I believe that we find in the lesson that it is something that we can put on, since Paul tells them to do that. We have an inspired writer of the gospel saying, you need to be this way, you need to put this on. So he's not going to tell us to do that if we can't. So we're able to put it on. So it's not just a personality trait or just a type of person. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't certain types of people who do better than others with it. But that's true across all kinds of different traits that we can exhibit as the people of God. Some things are easier for us than others. But we want to understand that it's not just a type of person or just a personality trait that is meekness. It is something that I believe we can control. Yes, Seth?
There's a movie from 25 years ago or so, and the comeback was, well, the meek show here from the Bible, and the person was, well, I wonder how meek they will be when they do. So, but if you truly are meek, then you stay even keel, you say that you would remain meek.
Okay. Yeah.
And you would be a meek person if your reaction to inheriting the earth was to act like.
Okay, right. Without any humility or anything like that. Yeah, right, right. So think about a few things here. You know, in the lesson here on the first page, he says, since God commands meekness, it must not involve the idea of weakness. And he suggests that we have control over that. So as we start to think about that together, then we want to talk about how we can develop meekness and what that involves. And we're going to look at some passages that help us understand that here in just a minute, but I thought I would get some initial thoughts. If it is something that we can control, and it's something that we need to that Paul tells us that we need to put on, how do you think that we start to develop that? Part of it has to do with how we look at it. Anybody have a quick thought about that? Yeah, Ruby?
One of the things that our ministry has happened to most everyone in here, that somebody says to you, you're different. And I, the first time they said that to me, I thought, what do they mean? What do you think of like that? Really? And he said, yeah, you're so different. You never do this, and you never wear everything. Because
When we study the Beatitudes, first we'll discuss it are the four in spirit. And we discussed, was that just circumstantial that it was first?
Sure.
But we kind of studied it from the point that you had to have that to proceed to the other.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So it becomes a mindset of what you are willing to do and what you're willing to put on, what you're willing to be. And so even you look down near the bottom of the first page of Lesson 5, as he's defining this word that meekness comes from often in the Bible, you know, it talks about gentleness being suggested as one of the definitions, but meekness describes the condition of the mind and heart, and gentleness is more appropriately described as an action. So it's kind of a combination of those things. But to the point that's been made here, he goes on in the end of that paragraph to talk about that meekness is manifested by the Lord and commanded to the believer that it is the fruit of power. And so basically what he says in the rest of that paragraph, if you look at it, is that the Lord himself was meek, and that he had the resources and the resources of God at his command. And so we see that it is a choice. It's something that you can put on. It's something that you can do, but it's a matter of a willingness to do it. And so when we think about then, what does this have to do with God, or with how we submit ourselves to God? And I'd ask you to take a look here in Psalm 37, because I think there's several parallels here and a few traits that we want to pull out of some of these verses that help us define it. That's what we're trying to do today, is define meekness, because we want to see how that is a part of being people who are self-controlled, being people who are willing to deny themselves. If you want to put on meekness and you want to be someone who excels in this trait and this idea, then it's going to take self-control. Because as many of you have spoken up about what meekness is, in some senses, we don't want to be meek. Why? What, in society today, why would we decide that we don't want to be meek?
We become vulnerable.
Okay, yeah, that's a good comment. We become vulnerable. Why else? How will people see us? Yeah, Pam?
Perceived as weak.
Okay, yeah, well, perceived as weak, and so what do we feel like people might do if they think, well, if we're going to be described as meek people, then do we feel like, well, maybe people are going to kind of run over us, take advantage of us, not respect us? But actually the opposite is true if we think about Jesus and what he was like. Yeah, Rich, go ahead.
We're also into instant gratification.
Yeah.
We want, you know, if somebody does us wrong, we want to slap them upside the head and make it right. We want on our terms, yeah, right now, you know, it's not, we don't hear anything else. That's the way we want it, because we want it the way we want it.
Right. And if you are described, if you want to be described as someone who has a quiet and gentle spirit, someone who, we'll get to hear this in a little bit, who I would describe meekness in one sense as strength under control, that's not something that happens instantaneously, is it? That's something that is built up over time, that people recognize that about you, because they're going to see you in different situations. They're going to see how you handle stress, how you handle adversity, how you handle trials, how you handle, you know, other people who are not acting as they should. And over time, then that's going to be something that becomes evident as to who you are. When you look at Psalm here, 37, I've got verses 5 through 11 on there. But just look at some of the things that it says here. And it doesn't use these words specifically, but the ideas are here. We want to pull a couple of those things out of there. Verse 5, he says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace." So some of the ideas that we see in the Beatitude about the meek and them inheriting the earth come, I think, from this passage. But all of this passage talks about, in different ways, defining meekness. The meek are people, in one sense, who wait for the Lord. So think about a couple of things that we see here in this. And you know, I'll appreciate any comments that you have on as we're thinking through this and trying to define it and understand what meekness really is. And the first thing you see in this is that meek people trust in God. And that's not a new concept for us, but think about that. In the first part of verse 5 there, he says, you know, commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. Last part of verse 5, sorry. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will act. So, let me ask this question. If you're trying to develop meekness and understand meekness, how does trusting in God play a part of that? Yeah, Alan?
Brings on gentleness.
Okay. Right? What else you think, Doug?
It starts with submitting.
Okay.
So it's really, you know, submitting your will, submitting your trust, submitting everything to God and deferring.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So let's take that idea for just a second. Submitting your will and trusting in God and giving that over to Him. Is that, since we're talking about meekness and weakness and being timid and getting run over, so is trusting in God and submitting your will to Him, is that weakness or strength? And if so, how? You can't just say yes or no. Is it weakness or strength? We all know we should say strength, right? It's a lot of strength, trusting in God. So why is that not weakness? Because a lot of people may say, if you kind of say, well, you know, I'm going to leave that up to God, or I'm going to trust in Him, or I'm just... we look at that as a society sometimes as inaction and say, well, I'm just going to leave that up to God. I'm going to trust in Him. And we look at that sometimes as, well, I'm not going to take control of the situation. When in reality, what we're doing is giving that control to God and trusting that He is going, that outcome is going to be the better outcome. It doesn't mean we don't do anything, though, does it? No, it means that when we trust in Him, we look at His will, we see what He would have us to do, and we do that instead of what we thought that we would do. And we trust or have confidence in that when we do it God's way, even if we can't understand how and where and why, that it's going to work out for the better, for the good, and that that's going to develop something in our character. That's using strength and keeping it under control. Does that make sense? Alan, did you have something? Okay. All right. Well, we're right there on the same page then. So that's in defining meekness, meek people trust in God. And it's not just in word, but they're willing to look at a difficult situation, whether that be a trial that you're facing, whether that be somebody, you know, interacting with you in a harsh way, trust in God and react the right way. So how would that play out? If you trust in God and somebody is going to come and interact with you in a very aggressive way or kind of try to run over you, and you're going to exhibit meekness and trust in God, what would you do? What does the Bible tell us we should do, and how is that trusting in God and exhibiting meekness? What do you think? Think about some things that Jesus says that we should do. Yeah, Josh?
Well, looking at Jesus, for example, Jesus was quite strong, yet under control when he went to the cross. As we look back at the story of Jesus, who are the ones that we admire, who are the ones that we despise in that scene? It's the ones who mocked him, the ones who prodded him, the ones who spat upon him, abused him, treated him wrongfully. They look awful.
Yep.
From our perspective. But yep. Jesus, we admire his strength and his dedication, his loyalty to God, his mission for him on earth for our behalf. And in the long run, I think that's kind of the key of acting in a meek way.
Yeah.
Is the long term reward and result, not looking at what we want to do short term, but what can happen long term as a result of being staying composed.
Okay. Yeah, that's a fantastic example. That's the one I had thought of as well. And when you think about Jesus at the cross, consider the different scriptures we read, the songs we even sing about it. You know, he could have called 10,000 angels. We sing that song sometimes. We think about the power that Jesus had when he was being treated poorly, when he was being tortured, when he's gone through things that none of us have ever or probably will ever experience. And you're talking about strength under control. But why was he doing that? He was trusting in his Father. He was submitting to his will because there was a greater purpose. There was a greater plan, right? And though he could have acted differently, though he could have overpowered everything there, he did not. So I want to think about that. That's trusting in God and putting that into practical purpose. We've got several comments here, so let's start over here. Lane?
I think about what Jesus says in Matthew 5, 38-42, where he talks about if anyone forces you to go 1 mile with him, go with him too. And I don't know why, but I hadn't really thought about before that it's not something that you're doing willingly, like it's forcing you to do this, and then you're going to give...
You're going to go beyond that. Yeah. That's the other thing I had thought of there. When he talks about, you know, if somebody smacks you or slaps you on the cheek, what do? Turn the other cheek. You know, go the extra mile. Those are not natural things that we want to do. We want to, you know, to Rich's point earlier, we want to stand up for ourselves. We want to say, no, you can't take advantage of me. But look at the longer term of where that leads when we behave that way. We've got a couple others over here. Merritt?
Yeah, all the things I think that we believe meekness is deficient in is things that God's going to end up providing for us in the long term.
Right.
That is the gratification that we have to delay.
Yeah.
For us to see how that plays out, whether that's, you know, revenge is mine, or that's providing for the monetary things that we need because we're not asserting ourselves in the workplace.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, meekness is not deficient in the long term.
Yeah, and that goes back to this verse here. It talks about waiting on the Lord. I think it's in verse 9 there. Yeah, verse 9, you know, evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. So, you know, this is the mindset we need to be in to define what meekness is and to be able to appreciate it. Charlie?
I think it needs to be pointed out here that just because man may think that we're weak,
right,
we really aren't.
Right. Yeah.
We trust in God's way regardless of what man thinks.
Sure. There's obviously a different definition in the world, in a secular sense, of what weak or meekness is versus what the biblical definition is. And that's what we want to understand. You're right. So that's something we need to think about. Yeah, Rich?
One thing is interesting about people that I've known that are, I would consider, meek, in that they're reserved and they're very analytical and decisive in what they do or don't do.
Okay.
When they pull back and they don't do something, and that's fine, and they tend to, in some, like say, some people view they look weak or ineffective or like punk, maybe they look like punk. Or they just don't do something when most expect them to. But when they determine they're going to act, they're just as measured, they're just as analytical, and they don't do it from emotion.
Okay.
It's something that's very it's specific.
Yeah, and we
the thing is, it's so effective.
Right.
It takes much less effort. The end result is so much more powerful.
Okay, and we can, and what we want to understand about that is we can choose to be that way, right? We can choose to do just what, you know, that's kind of the next point here. You know, when you look at the beginning part of verse 5, commit your way to the Lord is what comes before trust in Him. So there's the idea of that this is something you can choose to do. A commitment is something that you make. You can choose to be this way. You can choose to react in the way that Jesus did. And you can choose to be the kind of person that He tells us to be. You can choose to be poor in spirit. It's not just about a personality trait or some sort of you know, a type of person that is this way. And that's what we want to appreciate about it. So, you know, meek people commit their way to God there. And so, kind of thinking about that, we're running short on time, so I'm kind of picking up the pace here a little bit. If we're going to put on meekness, then we may have to admit that we are insufficient to cope with the complexities and the pressures and the obstacles of life We're going to trust in God for how to deal with those things. We're going to commit ourselves to Him to deal with those things. And we're going to accept what the outcome is of those things. And when you think about doing that in real, applicable, day-to-day situations, whether you're facing, you know, health situations, you're facing end-of-life situations, you're facing trials that are going to ultimately change your course or path here on earth, things that are going to affect your family and those who are very close to you, things that are going to affect your career and your job, things that are very personal to us day by day, when you think about that you're going to commit to God's way no matter what's going to happen, no matter what the consequence is, with that, tell me that is weak. It's not. It can't be. That is strength. But it's under control. It's calm. It's calm because I'm trusting in God. I'm acknowledging that that's okay. That what He has said is going to happen is going to happen. That's what we see in Jesus. That's what we see as strength under control. And so we want to be able to appreciate that. And that takes us to this other point here in Psalm. That they are quiet before God and they wait for Him. Think about the beginning of verse 7 there. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. That, brothers and sisters, takes patience and strength, doesn't it? I don't know about you. I tend to get a little anxious and want to take control of a situation. Men especially like to fix things when some certain things happen. And so when you're presented with something and your first reaction is to react and try to take care of it, to stop, to wait, to be quiet, to be able to quiet your mind and understand what God's purpose is, reflect on what you hopefully have read and studied and meditated upon, and appreciate that God has maybe a different timeline than I have with this. And maybe God's timeline will not finish out in the course of my life. That's strength. That's meekness. That's stability. That's calm when we can appreciate that. You know, and the last one I had here out of the Psalm was, they don't fret over the wicked. So all that we have talked about come into play with that, doesn't it? When you think about the end of verse 7 there, the one who, don't fret yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Because ultimately, we're trusting in God. We've committed our way to Him. We can be quiet before Him. We can wait on Him. We're not going to be upset or fret over what we see as wickedness. Does all that make sense as far as what meekness is? Other quick thoughts here. Yeah, Donna?
Does that get easier to do?
I don't know. I hope so. And yeah, I want to say yes. For me, it has a little bit. But at the same time, you experience more things. And so you have more at stake sometimes. But all across your life, I think we all are going to find challenges in that. And hopefully, as you grow in wisdom and have seen more things, if you have been diligent to let God take care of things and you see some of how that has worked out, then you can do more, hopefully, commit yourself to more trusting. And appreciate that and help those who are younger who want to go right at it sometimes. And we've all been there. Some of us are still there. You know. So yeah, I think that's something definitely to think about. Just got a minute or two left. And so thinking about some of the other definitions on page 18 there as we finish this up. Because we've got a few more weeks to talk about meekness. So if you have some other thoughts, I'm sure those will pull into some of the examples and applications that we're going to look at. But, you know, Thayer, he talks about Thayer defining it as a temper of spirit in which we accept his dealings as good. And therefore, we don't dispute or resist. I think that's a good way to think about it as well. If we're going to talk about trusting in God, committing to his way, being able to wait on him, understand that God is good. And when we understand that God is good, then we are able to wait on Him. We're able to have control. We're able to have a quiet spirit. We don't have to rush in and take care of it ourselves. But we're able to look at the purpose of His will and how that affects us. I'll leave you with these last couple of illustrations as we think about the... we didn't get to talk about James, that meekness is teachable and wise. We'll talk about that maybe next week. Here's the summary that he leaves us with of how we define it. The idea that that it's humility towards God and man. We'll talk about next week how humility has a part of it. Submission to God, accepting discipline, accepting trials and chastening. The gentleness is a part of it, and certainly self-control. the way he describes it at the end here, about the captain at the helm of the ship in the midst of the storm, who is full in control in the vessel and guides it safely through. Another way it's been described to me is, you think about one of these big draft horses. So much power. Something that's much bigger than us as human beings, but yet the bit in the mouth and the horse that has been trained and follows the lead of the master, strength under control. So that's what I want you to think about this week. Next week we'll talk about examples of it. Thank you so much for all of your input and for your examples this morning. We'll stop there.